today on Real Radio.
Love must be the source and will be the source of a divine miracle. Deception will be the source and the intent of a satanic miracle. But what is a miracle? You might say, well, I'm very analytical. I'm scientific. I don't believe in miracles. Well, wake up. They happen every day.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey included preaching the gospel throughout the Gentile world. Their passion was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the message called How We Grow Up in Christ, we learned that one sign of a Christian is spiritual growth. And the way we grow is by staying in God's Word and by continuing His work through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now in chapter 19, verses 8 through 20, we'll discover that there has always been an interest in the supernatural. And today, well, it's no different. The fact is, we are experiencing a rise in the number of people joining cults like never before. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God worked unusual miracles through Paul for a lot of reasons. These miracles were to teach spiritual truths and to open up the heart and the mind. They were to announce that Jesus Christ is the Messiah to a dying world. And they were to reveal God's love and His compassion. And now, continuing his lesson called The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I want to know, if you're rejecting Christ today, why are you rejecting Him? Give me one good reason. Well, my Sunday school teacher ripped me off when I was 5. That is not a reason. Well, those crazy guys on TV always asking for money. Hey, listen, that is not a reason. You think you're upset with them? God is upset with them more. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "For since the very creation of God, all of His invisible attributes are clearly seen to the world, being understood by the things that He has made, you are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse." Well, God, I didn't give my heart to you because I didn't like Calvary Chapel. Jack was weird and ugly and bugged me. And I never came. No, that's not an excuse. Praise the Lord. It's no excuse. But what do you have against Him? Why are you running from Him anyway, if you are? What reason? It won't stand the test of time, judgment, and the extension of His love. Serious thing. The universal question that will be asked all of us, if you're a believer this morning or not, in the end, the universal question of all time will be, when God leans over His judgment bar and says, "What did you do with my Son, Jesus Christ? What did you do with Him? Can you say, I received Him into my heart. He's washed me from my sins. I'm delivered." Or will you say, "Well, you know, I thought about Him a lot. And in fact, I even called Him Lord. I was very careful to call Him Lord. But did you receive Him into your heart?" No. But I was in the ministry. I went to the YMCA. Matthew 7:21 says, Jesus will respond and say, "Depart from me. I never knew you," into everlasting fire. Serious stuff. What did you do with Jesus will be the great question in the end. And the reason why it's such a great question is because God reaches out to love you, which is the gospel, and people push Him away. And the fourth thing that I want you to see in this section is that Paul begins to discern the crowd. Look what happens here. They wouldn't believe. They spoke evil of the way before the multitude. So Paul departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Paul looked at the people. They were not willing to listen. So listen, Christians, you need to hear this. They wouldn't listen anymore. So did Paul keep sticking tracts in their lunchbox? Did he put the four spiritual laws between the bologna and the lettuce? No. You know what he did? He did what Jesus said to do. He kicked the dust off his feet and walked away. If they reject repeatedly, let him go. Pray for them. But don't bug him anymore. Don't bug him. Love them. Pray for them. Help them. But don't bring it up anymore. Pray for them. If you've truly given them the gospel, then leave them alone. Pray for them. If they say, man, you know what? I don't want anything to do. Hey, just Jesus says, don't cast your pearl before swine. Walk away. But always pray for them. The word in the Greek, withdrew, Paul withdrew from them. The word means to separate from them or refrain from them and walk away from them. Very powerful word. It's a serious thing when that happens. And Paul picks up the ministry and moves into the school of Tyrannus. You always want to, every time I read this guy's name, I want to say Tyrannosaurus Rex. Tyrannus. Tyrannus means the terrible or tyrant. The school of the tyrant. Listen, a little bit of background will help us. In Ephesus, you would get up early in the morning and you would work because it was so hot. At 11 o'clock in the morning, they would shut down everything. And people would take siestas. They would eat and they'd go to sleep until 4 o'clock. And then all the businesses picked back up again. And there was a common saying that if you ever want to get directions or if you ever want to meet the people of Ephesus, meet them at 1 o'clock in the morning rather than 1 o'clock in the afternoon because the whole city was sleeping. So from 11 to 4, everything shut down. Well, according to church history, it was from 11 to 4 that Paul began to teach after withdrawing from the multitude. Paul began to teach a Bible class in the school of Tyrannus. It was a hall. It was a public school gathering, but it shut down for lunch siesta break. 5 hours. And every day, Paul would teach the Christians for 5 hours in the blazing heat in this classroom. You know what? That reminds me of Russia. I wish all of you have been there. It just fits for us. I read this and I get homesick. Why? Well, we go over there, we negotiate with people, we find a school. Can we use this? Well, you can't use it from this time to this time. Oh, well, can we use it from this time to this time? Sure. How much? $20, $50. Oh, great. Thank you. We go out on the streets. We evangelize to people. Where do we tell them to come? To the school of Tyrannus. We're meeting at school 559. Come and be with us tonight. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. It's so New Testament. Paul rented a schoolroom and gave the gospel for 5 hours a day. I go 10 minutes over and people want to shoot me. 5 hours of Bible study a day. That tells me two things. Paul's heart to minister and the people's hearts to learn. The Bible says as babes, that's not good looking people. That's brand new Christians. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Are you hungry for the Bible? It's a sign of life, you know. 5 hours a day. What do? The Lord asked me, how do you spend your spare time? I said, what spare time? The Lord says, you need to spend more time, spare time, Jack, and spare it for me. Spare it on me. Spend it on me. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, like these guys right here, that we ought to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't know about you, but all of our lives, we've sown to things. We've done so much. And now that you're a Christian, the Bible says you ought to be redeeming the time, getting that time back. Turn off that TV and get to know the Lord more. Very important. It says here, verse 10, and this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Beautiful thing happening here. Very much so. Now, the second point is found in verses 11 to 16. Watch this. Now, God worked unusual miracles, underline unusual miracles, by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Look, under this section, there's three things that we're going to want to look at, very important. The first thing is in verses 11 to 12, the miracles come from God, and they're very unusual. I say this to tell you, the guy that's on TV this morning, if you just send him $50, you can have these prayer cloths that he's put his hands on. Like Paul. He goes, well, Paul did it, and I'm going to do it for you. And I've prayed over these, and I've touched them, and you send him $50, and you'll have your healing. Wait a minute. My Bible says unusual miracle here. Miracles are outrageous when they do happen. But this is an outrageous, outrageous miracle. It's unusual so much so that the Bible says unusual. The word in the Greek is very strange, very abnormal, very extraordinary. It means it doesn't happen very often. And besides that, you're going to see the answer. And I hope it for once and for all puts that junk down. This is a miracle that God does based upon culture. You ever wondered why he did this? Why would God do such a thing? Because it's culture related, and we'll see this in a second. But there are three things. Number one is that the miracle comes from God. It didn't come from Paul. It says here that God sovereignly did this miracle. I like this. You know, the book of Acts is written by Dr. Luke. He was a scientist and a physician. Skeptic. I like that. It says here, an unusual miracle. Very strange. An apron. Here you go. Listen to this. An apron. This apron is the kind of apron that laborers would use. You see, Paul made tents from 6 a.m. to 10:59 a.m. From 11 to 4, he taught the Bible. From 4:01 to about 7 in the evening, depending upon the time of the year, he made tents again. Ephesus is in a terribly hot part of the world. It was common for them to wear sweatbands. That's what the word handkerchief is here, by the way, in the Greek. It's sweatbands on your head. Sweatbands. And they used them for practicality's sake. You know, we buy the designer ones. And, you know, got the little headband on. It looks so cool, you know. Listen, they had these things out of necessity, man. These guys sweat like hogs. And in this valley, people might know what hogs sweat like. And aprons for working. That means it had a lot of grime on it. In Paul's trade, it had some skin, because he made tents out of skin. It had maybe bloody stuff on it. His sweatband would have been terribly corroded. Very dirty. Both these things are filthy. Well, guess what? Here's a little background that will help you tremendously. In Ephesus, when you went to worship any of the gods in Ephesus, if you were to make an offer to the gods, specifically Diana, you could not come without pure linen. Most of their practices were sexual practices. If you wanted to worship Diana, you would kiss your wife and your kids goodbye, go down to the temple, and have sex with a bunch of women, and that's your offering to God. Well, it all had to be done on clean sheets, according to the Ephesians. It all had to be done on pure garments. Are you with me? God uses Paul's soiled garments in front of the people to do unusual miracles, great miracles. Why? To put down the worship of pagan gods. They stood there and they went, oh, you mean you took that stinky, sweaty headband and put it on that guy and he was healed? That can't happen. Well, it did happen. Well, how did it happen? In the name of Jesus Christ. That's how. And listen, if you were an Ephesian, you would say, then that is a greater God. If Diana has to have pure linen to do what she does, and this God can even use soiled linens, he's a greater God. And we're going to follow him. Do you see the connection? Or am I just excited? Do you see that? Cultures like that. You have to be sensitive to that. And God knew that, of course, and God did this unusual miracle. It reached the culture where they were at. They were steeped in the cults and occult in their practices. Why a miracle? Why does God do miracles? Jot these three things down. Number one, to teach a spiritual truth. That's why God does miracles. By the way, that's the same reason why Satan will counterfeit a miracle. To destroy a spiritual truth by deception. You know, Satan can do miracles. You aware of that? Be careful. The second thing is to announce that Jesus Christ is in fact Messiah. That's why miracles are done by God. To extol the name of Jesus Christ, which is exactly what happens here in our text. The third thing is to reveal God's love and compassion to a needy world. How many times do you read in the New Testament where Jesus saw them and he was moved with compassion and fed them or healed them or raised them from the dead? To teach a spiritual truth, to announce Jesus as Messiah, to reveal God's compassion and love. Love must be the source and will be the source of a divine miracle. Deception will be the source and the intent of a satanic miracle. But what is a miracle? You might say, well, I'm very analytical. I'm scientific. I don't believe in miracles. Well, wake up. They happen every day. Doctors know about miracles all the time. They won't admit it, but they see it all the time. I don't see how a doctor can be a doctor without believing in Jesus Christ. Same goes for a scientist. Anybody who's in a thinking field should be brought closer to God. But what's a miracle? Well, a miracle is something that transcends the natural laws that we're aware of. It's not subject to the natural laws, and in fact supersedes the natural laws. Emmanuel Velikovsky, one of the great ancient scientists, said, not too ancient, but he said, according to the atomic world, it is possible. This guy's not a Christian, you know. He said it is possible for two worlds molecularly to exist in the same room at the same time, but because of their reconstituted or restructured molecules, can pass one in between the other without one knowing of the other. And Emmanuel Velikovsky gave scientific reasons why there could be a train going right through the sanctuary right now at 100 miles an hour. Scientifically feasible or theoretically possible to entertain such things. Well, what's the hint? Emmanuel Velikovsky needed to come to the final conclusion, and that is exactly how the spirit world is. Between you and I, there's a world passing in between us that's invisible to our natural law of optics. That's exciting to think about. Are there angels here? The Bible says there's angels here. The Bible says that when the Word of God is opened up, angels come in and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. That's exciting. Well, just think, I could be like slapping some angel in the face right now. Sitting up here, sitting on the clock, just, you know, sitting on that microphone right there. Awesome. Look at verse 13. This is the second thing that we need to see in this section. The danger of imitating God's work. The danger of imitating God's work. Verse 13 says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists. Well, that's an oxymoron. If you're a good Jew, you're not supposed to get near people that are possessed or the spirit world, according to the thinking of the Jews. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves. You ought to underline that, took it upon themselves. People, whenever we take anything upon ourselves, we're in trouble. I know people who are in Christian ministry today, and they're Christians, and they're not supposed to be in ministry. They're not supposed to be in ministry. They took it upon themselves, and they're wondering why things are falling apart at the seams. They love the Lord, but they're not supposed to be involved in ministry. They take it upon themselves. If you're called to ministry, let it be of God, not a call from a friend or a call from the family or a call from the Pope. It's got to come from God. Oh, so they took it upon themselves. Hey, look at this. Man, these demons are coming out of people. People are being healed. So they took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. saying, here you go. How do we do it? I don't know. Try this. I think I heard somebody. Yeah, try this. we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Well, that sounded pretty good. Say it again. We adjure you by the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And here's this guy sitting in front of him, twisted and freaked out. By the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. Verse 14 says, also there were seven sons of Sceva. These guys are going to get involved in it too. The danger of imitating God's work. The Bible says in the Old Testament, when God gives in Leviticus the prescription for the anointing oil for the priesthood, God says if anybody comes in and duplicates the oil, who is not called to duplicate the oil, let that man be put to death because he's imitating the oil of God. What's the oil in the Bible a symbol of? The Holy Spirit. See the Spirit. Don't imitate the work of God. Either God is working in you or he's not working in you. But don't pretend. Don't fake it. Eli's sons faked it and got in big trouble. Aaron's sons got in big trouble. Don't fake it. Don't imitate the work of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld. Thanks for listening. You know, it's a serious thing when a person or a city or a nation turns its back on God, but the gospel will win in the end. And the question is, are you on the winning side? The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the Apostle Paul, who we've been introduced to in this Book of Acts series, poured his life into his letters to the first century churches. His love for Christ and Christ's love for the church were the inspiration for his writings. And God wanted Paul to write them so that even centuries later, we would be encouraged, enlightened, and strengthened in the Lord. Imagine if everyone back in the day who had been touched by Paul's powerful testimony and teachings had sent him a reply, even just a simple note or a few paragraphs of how much their lives had been changed through his deep love for Christ and because he shared the gospel message and his wisdom on spiritual things. And today, if you've been blessed by the teachings of Pastor Jack that he's shared on this broadcast or on his website, we'd love to hear from you. Pastor Jack's been so touched by the responses that he's already received. Here are just a few letters that listeners like you have sent in. Thank you for your videos, in particular the Happening Now series. I wanted to drop a note to you expressing my appreciation for your ministry and the work the Lord has called you to do. We, the church, desperately need biblically based teaching on end times and deception. There are so many teachings on end times that do not line up with the Bible at all. So again, thank you for sticking with just what Jesus says. That comes from Robert in Alberta, Canada. Thank you, Robert. I just want to say thank you for all you do. I live in Montana, and it's pretty hard to find someone who's willing to give us truth every day. I read your devotions, listen to you on Sirius XM, and now I watch your Sunday and Wednesday night services. You've been such a blessing to me and my family. Thank you, Steve, for sending that in. So a big thank you to those who've already written, and if you'd like to write to Pastor Jack and let him know how we're doing here at Real Radio, please don't hesitate to respond. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and look for the tab that says Contact. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.